Oh, hey, kiddo. How was the hill?
Educational.
Oh, learn a new trick?
Yeah, the trick to a happy, fulfilling life, maybe. I learned that mountain air unleashes my inner peace. And rip and pow, well, the whole crew's all, yoo! Induces spontaneous joy.
Okay, that's nice.
The Icon Pass lets you do you at 50 destinations worldwide from $249 adult. Drop in for next winter now and save at iconpass.com.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Coming to you live from Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this April 18th, Monday, 2022. And this is Pledge Week, folks. Get ready to pledge. We need you. We really do need to hear from you. Alrighty, now, on the board, the guardian of the board, he took the peas away from the Jolly Green Giant just to see what he'd do. None other than the mighty Andrew.
And he didn't do anything.
No, you scared him, boy, I can tell you.
Yes, I did.
And then way in the back, we have in the boiler room, we have, well, what do I call him? Okay. The Radical Randy, he's back there in the boiler room. Now, you heard that giggling there. I had her locked in the boiler room, but Andy let her out, and that was Widow Leecha. Say hello, little Leecha.
Good evening, everyone.
She got out. There she goes.
Don't blame that on me, Pastor.
But lock her back up, okay? And here, one night a month, I have my own private nurse ready, standing by, ready to do whatever I need, heart attack, whatever. She's here. Nurse Elaine Connolly.
Good evening, everyone.
Alrighty, there you go. I'm not going to have a heart attack, am I?
No, not at all.
Okay, but you'd help me if I did, right?
Yes, I would.
All right, there you go. All right, we've got to tell you that the phone numbers are 888-281-1110. 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. Now, I didn't forget about him at all. He was thinking, what about me out there? But we're going to do something. We're going to pray, and I want you all to join me because our pastor, our dear Pastor Joe, has some surgery tomorrow. And so we're going to pray, and I want you to all join me, help me. Because, you know, Joe ain't no kid. I mean, he's been around for a while. And so, anyhow, we need to pray that just pray along with me, if you will. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I just want to hold up Pastor Joe and ask tomorrow as the procedure takes place, Lord God, that you are there, Father God, Lord, that you're there. You guide the surgeon's hand. You're in him from the start to the finish, Lord, and that you would touch him, heal him, and, Lord God, be a comfort and to him and his wife, Harriet, and the children. And, Lord, so we need him. As we wait for you to return, Lord, we need all the help we can get. We're going to fight the biggest fight, and Pastor Joe is a fighter. So, Lord, we ask again, bless him and heal him in Jesus' name. And there you go, Pastor Joe. You thought I forgot you, didn't you?
Well, no, I didn't think you forgot me. I was just waiting for some real dumb introduction.
Yeah, you thought I might say that.
After Lisa, I thought, okay, what's he cooking up tonight? But we better get to work. We got to raise some money.
Did you think I was going to say that Pastor Joe's a hillbilly?
You were going to say something bad about
him. Why would I say that?
Or something. I don't know why.
All right. Okay. All right. Yeah, we got to get serious. Now, we're going to start tonight in Matthew chapter 28. And Joe, would you read verses 1 through 10 and then stop?
All right. Love to. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail! And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go to Galilee, and there they shall see me.
All right, now, Joe, he said, he told him to do four things. One, be not frightened. Two,
he is
not there, okay?
No.
Three, come and see. And then four, go quickly. Now,
and tell.
Yeah, let me ask you a question here. When have you ever seen a rock setting on a stone?
Only in Scripture.
Okay, so we go.
The Rock of Israel sitting on a stone.
Well,
that had previously locked the tomb. Supposedly locked him in the tomb.
So the very first one to see him was Mary Magdalene, the one that he had cast out all of the demons out of her.
Right.
Okay. So now let's look at that again, and. Elaine, you know, just jump in if you want to be at a question or comment. Just
okay.
Jump in. And so, like, if it's a really hard question, ask Joe.
But,
and here, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and set up on it. His countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow, and fear of him, the keepers, and did shake and become as dead men. Let me ask you a question. How many times do we see in Scripture where Jesus appeared in another form? In another form. He did, looking like.
He appeared all through the Old Testament as the angel of the Lord, the angel of my presence. But the most famous one, of course, in the New Testament is in chapter 2 of Luke. In verse 9, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid, the shepherds. Here comes the angel of the Lord. That's the clue. And what? He comes with the Shekinah glory that only comes with God.
Okay, so how can you say this? Look, his countenance was like whitening and like lightning and raiment white as snow, and the fear of him. The keepers did shake and become as dead men. In other words, the guards passed out.
Well, first, let's go to Daniel 7, verse 9. And I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and wheels as burning fire. There you have an image of the angel of the Lord there, himself.
All right, but look at
it. It ties right in with the lightning and white as snow. And the fear, Revelation 1, I think it's verse, let's see, 17, I believe, yeah. And this is John. And when I saw him, he was talking about the, let me read. His head and his hairs were white as wool and white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. And it goes on.
All right, but let me, okay, just now. I'm going to stump Elaine.
Oh.
Elaine, here he says, as we go on, it says, and the angel answered and said unto the woman, fear not you, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here. Now, so if he's the angel of the Lord, that is... What? Well, it's Christophany, which is the Lord Jesus.
The pre-incarnate Christ.
For he is risen as... you're not Elaine. Elaine's sitting here. I can tell the difference.
Oh.
Okay. For he is risen as he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And so if that is a Christophany, how is he telling these women that he's not here? I give you a hint. The hint was, remember, in another form?
Exactly.
And so, now, Christ, we know, is omnipresent.
Correct.
And as King David said, no matter where you go, he's there. You're not going to get away from God. God's everywhere. He fills the entire universe, doesn't he?
Okay. Yeah, when I was growing up, I used to have some childhood memories of... a bad cowboy coming out of the closet, and my parents would always talk about the angel of the Lord.
Whom?
Chasing the bad, spirits or, the people that I thought were going to come after me when I was sleeping.
Well, Joe always wanted to be one of those people, the bad cowboy.
But it, when you're a child, that is very scary.
Yeah.
And so it was very easy, seeing pictures of angels to visualize and have that bad moment go away.
Well, let me tell you,
and the Lord does that all the time.
There's spiritual warfare going on around us all the time, and we just don't see it. All right, you know what? I haven't seen any of the phone lines light up here. This is not good. We've got to have phone lines light up. Okay, we do have one. Oh, okay. Wait a minute. Let me see. All right. Okay. Oh, yeah. I see now. Okay, Little Lisa pledges 125. Wow. Randy pledges 130. I'm going to have to be nicer to these folks, right? Okay, Tony from Toronto pledges 125. Kevin from Chardon pledges 60. Betty from California pledges 50. Let me see. Bob in New Jersey pledges 70. Okay, Bugs Buddy in Arkansas pledges 300. I know that fella.
Yeah.
At 300. All right, we're doing a lot better than I thought. I didn't see any of the things light up at all. Okay. 888-281-1110. We're off to a good start.
Yep.
888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. All right. So.
And right back to where you said the question you had was that part about the. The keepers did shake and become as dead men. I found that with Revelation 1:17 and John. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead.
Yep.
And he laid his hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. His presence was so overwhelming that even someone like John, who definitely believed in Jesus, seeing him in his state of glory was more than he could handle.
What did his trial have in common with the January 6th when they stole the election, with the when the protesters, when the Patriots went to D.C. to protest the stealing of the election? And so what did that have, Jesus' trial, his trial?
Well, the lies, the deception had a preordained outcome.
So, yeah, even before the trial
was predestined, before the thing started.
Even before the trial began, it had been determined that Jesus must die. So even before you had that, they've had like, what, 26 FBI rogue agents involved with this, okay? False witnesses were sought to testify against Jesus. Same thing, false witnesses were sent in to testify against the Patriots. No defense for Jesus was sought or allowed. They locked the Patriots up. They put him in jail. Nasty Pelosi and the underworld. Our guys had no justice at all. Totally corrupt.
They didn't release all the hours of all the tape to prove where agents were letting people in. Guard police were letting people in the building, welcoming, come in, just don't hurt anything, just come on in. And all of those had been kept from the attorneys and from the defendants. I mean, the whole thing was a sham. It's the biggest sham I have. I mean, this was worse than things we read about in the banana republics over the past 50, 60 years.
And the other aspect of this is that, you know, they're expecting that the peaceful protests are going to stop because people are going to be afraid that they'll be set up also. But you know what? God's got our back.
Amen. So, Joe, go ahead and read. Pick it up in verse 11 and read it all the way through the end.
All right. Now, when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And, lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen.
Amen. All right. And here, you know, when he talks about bribing the guards and that, and here where it says, and then going back to, so they took the money and did as they were taught. Boy, does that not sound like the Russia scam with President Trump?
Ongoing, yes.
Ongoing, yeah. Boy, is that not, yep. Nothing new under the sun there. All right, and you know, there was another thing, Joe, going back to where they came and rolled away the stone from the door, okay? So it said, the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone from the door. So here it's an interesting thing because Christ was not referred to only as the rock, but remember, he was the cornerstone, the chief stone.
He was the cornerstone, right. Yeah.
And so here, and what happened, he rolled him out of, so the rock rolled the stone away. It was an interesting thing.
To show that the tomb, that the cornerstone was no longer in the tomb, but had resurrected from the dead.
All right. Let's move over quickly to...
Remember he called us, what, living stones, right? He called us lively stones, living stones built upon the cornerstone. Well, our cornerstone is a living stone, isn't it?
Yep.
Isn't he?
I kind of stop right here, and we don't use the word Easter. We use the word Resurrection Sunday. And the reason for that, see, a lot of people think that, well, Easter is a word for cultic. This is not. It means Paschal or the Passover. And you find that in Acts 12, verse 4. And at the time of Passover, but we don't use that word Easter because today it's too associated, it's too associated with what? With fertility rites, with bunny rabbits and eggs and merchandising. And a lot of people in this country today, especially the kids, you ask them, what is Easter all about? Well, it has something to do with Jesus, I think, but we have a good service in church on Sunday, and we always have a good meal afterwards. The vast majority of people are really tremendously biblically illiterate. They don't know. But
terrible.
But if you go back, and when you, where did the little chicks and the rabbits and the eggs, that came from all the way going back to Semiramis, the wife of Nimrod.
Right.
And where they had, they would take and find an oak tree, because an oak tree was a sign of fertility. And they would, at the base of that oak tree, they would plant eggs as a sign of fertility. And they would find a female rabbit and remove her sex organs. And they would eat those. And then as it progressed on, they believed that whatever person had life in them, whatever life they had in them, if you could drink their blood, you could get that life. You would have their years, whatever years they would have. And they would often even, it was known to cut a woman's belly open and take the unborn baby out and cut his throat and drink his blood. This was these rituals, and it was practiced by the pagans. And in fact, if you go over to 1 Samuel 31, in 1 Samuel chapter 31, verse 10, and they put his armor in the house of Ashtaroth, and they fastened his body to the wall of Breshan. Well, Ashtaroth is one of those gods that was associated with Easter, with these, not with Passover, but with the fertility rites and all of that. And there was another one. Was it Astrade, was it? With the little chicks and all that? And so
it was Astaroth, became later Ashtaroth in the Bible.
Yeah.
Ashtaroth, what came from Ashtaroth, the goddess of the dawn, and she was kind of a follow of Semiramis.
And then they had a pagan holiday that fell right at that same time. And so, anyhow, but the actual word does not mean what people think it means. It actually means Paschal or Passover.
Well, if you look at Acts, like you said, chapter 12, if you look at verse 3, it talks about, then were the days of the unleavened bread, or Passover. And then in verse 4, it talked about the soldiers to keep him intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. After Easter was the name for the Passover holiday.
Yeah.
Scripture, if you read either before or after, if you don't understand something, read a little bit, and it becomes much clearer.
And there were several Sabbaths celebrated in that week.
Oh, there were, yeah, I think, what, four or five.
Okay,
that Holy Week.
Okay, Andy, keep your eyes open for our guest. He'll be calling in here, Lord's willing, anytime now. And so, that is Joe. Who is it, Joe?
Joe Knopp.
Joe Knopp, that's right. All right, we'll be back right after this.
Thank you. how you've heard the story about the King of Kings, who was born of a virgin and above all things. Yes, he was, and he wasn't, and he is, and he's yet to come. And how he went to the desert and was tempted thrice by the serpent, who was Satan and the father of lies. How he did all the things that he did, 'cause he was Yahweh's own son. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. So they hung him from a tree till he was crucified. Then they carried him and buried him in a tomb 3 days and three nights long. And with a bang and a clang and a great big boom, the angel removed the stone from the tomb. And when they all went looking inside, well, Jesus, he was gone. And now you know there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. The Father, he caused it for the Son to be redeemed. When you're resurrected from the grave, you leave no deposit. Yes, there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. Now as the Spirit moved and the church caught fire and the gospel spread through the Roman Empire, that old devil's old world order was turned upside down. It seemed the more that he martyred and he crucified, the more the Holy Ghost of Jesus Christ was multiplied, until the gospel of the saving grace of Christ was finally spread the world around. All because there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. The Father had caused it for the Son to be redeemed. When you're resurrected from the grave, you leave no deposit. Yes, there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. Now the Muslims say it's down to Allah you bow. The Hindus pray they'll come back as a cow. The Orientals say only Buddha's the way. But what are they gonna say on Resurrection Day? Now the world's got leaders that are trying to lead, but the truth of the matter is they're all deceived, 'cause they've all got secrets in their past they're trying to hide. So when Satan steps up to make his deals, he threatens to tell all the other big wheels. So they all conspire together to save their own hides. But you know there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. The Father had caused it for the Son to be redeemed. When you're resurrected from the grave, you leave no deposit. Yes, there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. Yes, there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet.
And that ought to scare you Democrats to death. Listen here. All right, Bob, an historian, pledges 300. Thank you, Bob. Jerome in New York City pledges 200. Stephanie from New York pledges 50. And, well, and we have, thank you. And we have with us our guest tonight, Andy's on phone, Joe Coppice. Joe up? Joe, are you there?
Yes, Joe Knopp. Good to be on with you tonight.
Yep, all righty. Your name's spelled K-N, though, isn't it?
Yeah, the K is silent this time around.
All right, very good. So then you called in to pledge 20 grand? No, I scared
like
you, didn't
that.
I? Already.
Did I call the wrong number?
Already. Now, you are running for lieutenant governor here in Ohio. And you're on the same ticket as Jim Renacci, huh?
Yes, I am his lieutenant governor. That's true.
All right. Now, I understand, well, you have made some pretty good films. I know that. For a guy, you weren't exactly born with a silver spoon in your mouth, were you?
I really wasn't. At least no one told me that I was. I come from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, a really rough family situation. When I was five, we were taken away from our dad and lived on the streets a couple of years with my mom before some great gentleman at a local church discovered us and placed us in an orphanage when I was seven and stayed there until I graduated from high school. So no silver spoons at our house.
When you say us, did you have a brother or a sister?
I had two older sisters, so we were on the streets together. They actually went to a different orphanage at first. We were separated for a while, but then we were able to reunite later on at a separate orphanage.
All right, well, praise the good Lord. And so now, listen, if you're a lieutenant governor, what are you going to do for all of us taxpayers in Ohio?
It's a long list, but from a tax standpoint, you know, it's crazy. When you add up all of the taxes that we pay here in Ohio, income tax, property tax, sales tax, business tax, we are like top five in the country for taxation. And along with that, we basically have a budget twice per capita of Florida. So unless you think Ohio is worth paying twice the amount of money to live in versus Florida, I think there's a lot of places we can cut some spending.
Boy, you're not kidding about that. But you know, here, with all of what's going on, and so do you consider yourself more of a politician or more of a statesman?
I consider myself an obedient follower of God who has been asked to run and serve this state, and I know that's where I'm supposed to be right now.
Well, that's what we need. That's what we need. Let me tell you what we don't need. Let me tell you what we've had enough of. I mean, completely, totally fed up with. Even worse than the Deathocrats are the rhinos. We are so tired. People in this country are so tired of being betrayed, where we go out, we campaign, we hurt, and we help people get elected, and then they get in office and they betray us. That is, you know, that is what we're really, really tired of.
Well, and I figured out why that is. In my this is my first time running for office, and it's a lot like Hollywood, which is where I'm used to working with some of the crazy people out there. You know, when you're, you know, thriving or really trying to be the best actor out there, the best actress, you know, you'll compromise yourself all along the way to try to get there. And I think politics is the same way. People, their goal is not to be, you know, a local representative for Ohio. Everyone's goal is to be president. And they all think they have what it takes. So they will compromise all along the way to try to climb that ladder. For me, you know, fortunately, my security, my confidence, my how I define myself, it does not come from the title. I've had some cool titles in my life. That doesn't define me. So you need to make sure, hold me accountable that, you know, a political title doesn't define me either.
So how did you get involved with Jim Renacci?
So my past two films, I did Unplanned, the pro-life movie, and then I did a documentary with the Trump family called The Trump I Know, and that got me exposed to politics. I spent about 4 months on the road with the Trump family and time in D.C. at their campaign office and also in the White House with them. And when I got back to Ohio, quite a few people asked me to run for office, but you know, like you said already, they were the typical politicians trying to further their career, and I think just use my relationship. And it was Laura Trump, who is Eric's wife. She was instrumental in having me talk with Jim Renacci, that their family really appreciates him, supports him. So that's when Jim and I first got together. And then after spending about, you know, a week or so together and with his wife, I really appreciated who he is, his journey, and that's when he asked me to be his running mate.
Okay, has Trump made an endorsement in the gubernatorial race?
He has not. We will be with him on Saturday at the rally just above in Delaware, Ohio. He's coming to town.
That's this coming Saturday, and that's always, is it? Do you think it's going to start on time?
I think his part won't, but maybe early in the day they'll get going on time. But that's kind of the fun with when you're with President Trump at those rallies. That is his favorite thing in the world, just to be with the people. And I just would never want to be his teleprompter. He always goes off script.
You know, we have here 18-month data-driven probe. This is an article from World News Daily. Concludes, 2020 election was stolen. No kidding. I mean, you know, you have to be... You have to really be dense not to know that election was stolen. It was, you know, we've been to the Trump rallies where you have 50, 60, 70,000 people turning. You had out here where we're at, We had a Trump train, and even the Amish. We went through Middlefield, and the Amish were lined up down 528 with on their buggies with Trump signs on it. And so you had 1,800 boats involved out there in California in one of Trump rallies. You had a 93-mile-long Trump train. And so it's an amazing thing. And then Joe Biden, you had 12 people in a parking lot in their cars, you know.
On a good day.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, but the fix was in. I mean, the fix was in. All of the dirty handlers that were out there involved in that. And it's going to come out. And just like we've been telling people all along. And, you know, even, you know, a lot of people thought, well, Fox News is at least it's something different from all the fake news media. But they turned on us, too. That's what I mean. We're so tired of being betrayed when Brett Baer and Sandra Smith and Neil Cabuto and Chris, what's his name? When they all turned and it was so bad. It was so bad, Joe, if you remember, you know how when the echo chamber starts, when it starts there, and they say the same thing, they use the exact same words, they call it the narrative. In other words, any lie, whatever is the lie of the day is called a narrative, but something different this time, because, and each time I watched it with Brett Baer and Sandra Smith and Neil Cabuto and all of them, they went, like that. First they went, where's the evidence? That little was a part of, you know, what their script, if you will. And that was so, you know, I tell you what, we're so tired of being betrayed. But I'm looking forward to seeing you there. Because often the lieutenant governor becomes the governor, huh?
Well, that tends to happen for sure. I, you know, the great thing about Renacci is I look forward to learning a lot from him. He's a really sharp business guy. And like you were talking about earlier with taxation, he's got a lot of plans to fix the expenses that are occurring in this state. So it'll be a great guy to be alongside. And for me, I really see my role as being the kind of the conduit between the people and the governor to make sure we are listening and serving the people, which is not like typical politicians. They tend to serve themselves.
So, Joe, it's Elaine Conley. I'm a registered nurse here and on Pastor Ernie's program once a month. So as you're going around talking to people in the state of Ohio, what are the top three concerns that people are voicing to you?
Thank you for being a nurse. In my former life, when I was active duty Air Force, I was an X-ray tech for the Air Force. So, knowing enough to be dangerous about what you do. But as far as the top three issues that we very consistently see, and I actually just left an education forum in Columbus before getting on this call. Education is number one. You know, obviously the left has been very strategic in indoctrinating our children through education, and CRT is what we're all aware of today. But there's a lot more what I would call below the water, the kind of the majority iceberg. It just hasn't even surfaced yet. When you think of social emotional learning, comprehensive sex education in the elementary schools now that we have to deal with. So education is number one for sure that needs you know, really overhauled in the state of Ohio. Number two is really, you know, the illegal immigrants that are being dropped off in Ohio, really for a decade now. But the security issue that they have brought to Ohio, the drugs that they have brought to Ohio, the human trafficking. You know, I think Ohio ranks fourth in the country for human trafficking. So people really want us to protect our own borders. And there's ways that we can do that that our current administration is definitely not involved with. And the third most popular thing and biggest concern is election integrity. You know, like we were talking about a few minutes ago, there's a real concern that the good people won't get in office just because of our elections. So our plan is to, it's amazing in Ohio that we do not require a photo ID to vote. I'm not sure how that makes sense to anybody out there, but you can show up with a piece of paper that says it's your utility bill, and they will let you vote. So the first thing we have to do automatically is have photo ID. So those are the three main issues that we keep hearing from the people that we need to work on day one.
Thank you.
Yeah, where I go to vote, the photo ID is required. They don't take the utility bills there.
In Ohio?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not required to have a photo ID. If you legally could push a utility bill, and they would have to accept it.
They would.
The law is written in Ohio.
I live in a very conservative county, and that's probably why.
Yeah.
But voter fraud, you're absolutely right. Election fraud is on people's mind. Absolutely, we've got to turn that back. And what is going on here in Ohio? What are we going? We're going to have two elections now. One in May 3rd, and the other in August.
August 2nd. So a couple of things, redistricting as a result of the every 10 years when you do the census, they look at districts again. And for some reason, just poor leadership from our current administration, they cannot get the maps to get approved. So what they have done is on May 3rd, we're going to vote for those that are not impacted by the district. So it'll be the statewide offices, so the governor, lieutenant governor, secretary of state, the senator. We will vote for them on May 3rd. And then their hope is for Ohio that people will come back on August 2nd to vote for the rest. That's going to cost Ohio about $30 million to do that. And I don't know about you, but it's hard enough to get people to vote in one primary, let alone two within the same 3 months.
And my other concern is we're still using the Dominion machines.
Yeah.
Yes, but they tell you they turn off the Wi-Fi, right?
But we know from precinct workers that's not really true.
We can't trust them as far as you can throw them in here. The problem, too, you know what? A lot of people are on vacation in August. A lot of people are not going to be. I mean, that's going to be a good percentage of people that won't be there. And so
that leaves room for concern and fraud. There's going to be a lot of people not showing up. So if you're running for office, get your buddies to come out, and you have a great chance of winning.
We're going to really have to, we're really going to have to work hard for that then. So now, what about, when it comes to districts, that means your congressman, U.S. congressman, your state senators, and
The state representatives, the state senators, all of those districts are not defined right now. So they can't even campaign. They don't quite know their boundaries.
Well, that would then because include the two U.S. Senators, right?
Actually, this go around, we're only voting on one U.S. senator. And because that is a statewide office, they will be on the May 3rd ballot. So all of those Senate seats will be on the May 3rd.
Well, that's right. There's only one up for election. You're right, yeah.
So, yep. Congress critters. Hey, Joe, this is Pastor Joe. I got to interview Jim, Pastor, and he had a little family thing and was gone that night. One thing that I came away from that with, being a businessman, he approached things with very Trump-like. The idea, here's a problem, let's find a solution to the problem, not what's going to get me the most votes, not what's going to make me popular, get me airtime, but here's the problem. Now, we approach it, what's the best solution for people in the state of Ohio? And it sounds like you have a very varied background where you've had to solve problems. Is that one of the things that you and Jim are in sync on, how to govern in that sense?
Absolutely. When you think of the state of Ohio having an $80 billion budget, that's a pretty good-sized business that impacts 11.7 million people that are living here. So absolutely, we will approach it like a business. And as far as politicians, if you think about it, and I know you know this, they make their decisions based on getting reelected in 2 to 4 years. They kind of build their resume up every time. Jim and I, we're pretty confident in our day jobs. So if the people don't want us after 4 years, they will let us know. But we are going to be focused on making Ohioans' life better and put more money in their pocket. It's insane that we spend twice as much money per capita as Florida does.
You mean like you're thinking there might be a lot of fraud, waste, you know, things like that within the government structure? Redundancy, minor little things like that.
There is. We have a major, major, major problem in Ohio with drugs. It's a major problem with drugs. And like you said...
And human trafficking.
And human trafficking. Yeah, well, the two go right together. I mean, they work right along.
Yeah. Fentanyl overdoses are the number one killer for ages 18 to 45. Think about that. One drug is the number one killer for ages 18 to 45 in our country. And Ohio is in top 3 to 4 for overdoses.
Let me ask you this. How in the world did the so-called Supreme Court get involved with this election? That is up to the Board of Elections. That's up to the Senate and the state representatives. How did that end up with the Supreme Court? Now, I know that Mr. Soros and Obama's boy, what's his name, the Attorney General for Obama. Eric Holder.
Holder.
I know that they've been spreading a lot of money around, you know, to get these different states to do the redistricting to, you know,
gerrymandering. Yeah, but I thought they were violating the state statutes by getting involved, though.
What the
Supreme Court of Ohio?
Yeah, I think so too.
It doesn't bother them to break a few laws, like, you know, Supreme Court laws.
Well, no, the Supreme Court, I think, broke the law here.
Right.
I don't think they have no jurisdiction in that area. So who appointed? I mean, they appointed themselves. What's that all about?
Well, the map after they were drawn kept getting challenged, and they very quickly went up to the Ohio Supreme Court, and then the Ohio Supreme Court, I guess 4 times in a row, ruled that they were inaccurate maps. Basically, they tried. The theory is they tried to mimic the Republican versus Democrat ratio relative to the previous election. So if Trump won by 8%, that means he got 54%. Democrat got 46%. So they try to draw the maps accordingly, which it's more of an art than a science anyway. So I don't quite know what they're looking for, and obviously they might not either. But
so they got a legal challenge, and then that's why the Supreme Court took over authority?
Well, they don't. It's not that they technically take over authority. They just not approve the ones that were submitted to them. So I don't want to get...
But that's what I don't understand, because it's not in statute that it has to be submitted to them for approval.
But it was challenged, and it quickly went to the highest court Ohio.
Okay.
And 4 times in a row. Because obviously it is time sensitive based on, you know, they were trying to get everything available for the May 3rd election, which they have not.
Everybody's fighting over it. Everybody wants control of who gets to redistrict and who gets the advantage in whatever district. So what it is, a big political battle, and the Democrats take everything to court, right?
Yes, and here we are.
Yeah.
You know, there's more, but let me tell you again, that's exactly what Soros was doing, okay? He was interfering and reaching people now. I have it on a good, I would say substantial, where I can believe it, that there was a certain Supreme Court justice there in Ohio that said out loud, where people could hear her, that Trump will not take Ohio again. She would not let Trump take Ohio again. And so that's what we're really up against. Somebody's been bought and paid for, but that's what That's how they do business nowadays. That's how politics are nowadays. And it's and we're fed up with it. We're so absolutely positively fed up with the corruption. I got to say this. This is Pledge Week. I want to say Marilyn from Florida pledges $40. John in Minnesota pledges $50. And I've got to give that phone number out. It's 888-281-1110. Folks, we got to hear from you because we're running out of time. We still have about, we still need to raise about $4,400 tonight, about $4,400 tonight yet. Okay.
I'd like to remind everybody out there that for over 40 years, Pastor Ernie has never taken any money to do this radio program. And no one working with him has ever taken any money. Everyone is a volunteer. And we don't have advertisers, sponsors, any of that. You, the listeners, there's a partnership. We, the volunteers, do the work. Your donations pay the bills. And the big bill, of course, is the radio airtime. So when you donate, the money goes directly to paying bills, keeping the watchman on the wall on the air, keeping Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance out there fighting for you, for God, family, and country. And that's pretty much it in a nutshell.
That's right. In 50 years on air, we have not ever stood down. We've never, not one time, compromised.
No, we don't back off.
No, we're going to bring it to you the way, because we, like our guest tonight, Joe Knopp, we really believe in what we're doing. We believe in the cause of Christ and trying to...
Well, I think Joe and Jim running together, both are like we are, we're bought and paid for, but by the blood of the Lamb, we're bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ, not by the government.
Amen. Folks, we got to hear from you, 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. How are you? Do you have any idea where you guys stand in the polls right now?
We do. We got one back yesterday, really good sample size. We are averaging around mid-30s at around 37%. DeWine's about 31%. And then the other two combined are in the 20% range, and that leaves about 10 or 11% undecided. So, it's like bragging about the halftime score doesn't matter until we get across the finish line, but it definitely motivates us to keep on fighting.
All right. Well, listen, Joe, and you make it there. In this radio program, we're here to get the – if you have a message that you need to get out now, you know that our number one goal is to stop abortion in Ohio. First and foremost, stop the killing. That's America's national sin. And so that's our goal number one. And I worked from the very beginning on that heartbeat bill with Jan Porter. And we got it passed. But, we've got such crooked judicial in this country. And we need to get a human life amendment passed. And that's what we're going to work for. Tell the folks again, I want to say thank you very much. Do you have a number or whatever if the folks can sign up for your campaign and help you out?
Yes, the easiest way to get access to us, our website is simply jimrenacy.com, or you can type in my name, joeknopp.com, and that'll give you all the information and access to us. We greatly appreciate it, but I really, in sincerity for what you're doing with this radio show, you're on the front line. And you're speaking truth, but not many people are today. So great admiration for what you're all doing.
I thank you so much for that. We're up against the break. I want to thank you so much for being here. So God bless, and you keep fighting the fight, and good luck out there. Let the Lord be with you.
And we'll
be back right after this with a whole lot more to come. So 888-281-1110. Or
888-677-9673. Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right,
What's Left Ministries. 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
Hey, kiddo, how was the hill? Did you learn anything?
Yeah, that ripping pow induces spontaneous joy.
The Icon Pass lets you do you at 50 destinations worldwide from $249 adult. Drop in for next winter now and save at iconpass.com.